Brother Nelson up to the pulpit to share what the Lord has given him.
Well, I didn't expect I'd be here this Sunday preaching, but our dear brother Chet, it's always a pleasure to listen to him. He has such a grasp of Scripture, and it's so packed full, his messages, and so much admonition in them. But the Lord had something else. It's a holiday weekend. We weren't able to get anyone else, so I said I can continue on with what I did in our anniversary service about our Christian lives abounding in Christ. And the opening, I really appreciated it. Dave's prayer, just the greatness of God. The older I'm getting, the more God is so big. It just boggles me. And one of the first times it was so impressed on me, and we sang about this, was when I climbed in the airplane up high in the sky, and those horizons expanded to maybe 100 miles or so. It struck me how small man really is. We are so small and so insignificant, and God is so big. That, you know, is a perfect start to my message again. I just want to go back in a few minutes and maybe rehearse and bring up to par where I'm going to start off. I talked about in the anniversary service about abounding, the word abounding, the things the Bible says God wants us to abound in. The first thing I mentioned was there were 7 pictures of where the blood's applied in the tabernacle, and each one of them has a tremendous lesson for us as believers. And the one that I talked about concerning this was the blood supplied to the horns of the altar of burnt offering. And the horns, anywhere in the Bible, the horns talk about authority and power. The altar of burnt offering talks about the place of where our sins are atoned for. It's a picture of Christ and the work he did on the cross. He bore God's wrath and bore away our sins. And as we think about the Christian life, we can't live it. We can't do it. It's not until we learn to depend on the Lord for strength and wisdom and grace and power. It's all from him. We can't do it. And we can't abound in our Christian life in our own strength. And that comes out just over and over again. I had 14 of them written down. There's more, but those caught my eye. And one thing I did talk about, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a tremendous chapter. And it ends up that we're to always abound in the work of the Lord, because we know it isn't in vain. And that verse is so strategically set just before the greatest chapter of the Bible on the resurrection. It reminds us that our work in the Lord is not in vain, because we're going to rise incorruptible and with bodies of power and glory and strength and victory. And then I did talk too about how our love for each other is to abound. And that comes up over and over. And in each one of these, it stresses how it's through the power of God that these things are done. So this morning, I'd like to start off in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. A beautiful verse here. And I want to spend a bit of time with this verse. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "Rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." This verse is packed full. First, it says, rooted in him. That can be very deceiving in our lives. We can be rooted in a lot of things and not realize it. Our real strength and our expectation to succeed, our expectation to live the Christian life, can be rooted in all kinds of things. I'd like to go back and ask a question to start off. Has there ever been a time that you personally have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted him completely for your salvation? Is the confidence that you're going to come to heaven rooted in Christ alone? I've done quite a bit of door-to-door work, talking to people. And it's just unbelievable what people hang their confidence on that will get them to heaven. I'll share a few with you. One that came up many times in town here was, "Oh, we live the golden rule. We believe in the golden rule. We live the golden rule. And that is, I love my neighbor as myself." They counted that we're doing that, and because we're doing that, that we're okay. Another one that is many times said is, "Oh, the church! The church looked after that. We were baptized as a baby, and we were brought into the church role, and we take communion with the church and all that, and that is what's doing it." Another one, I was talking to a guy about salvation and asked him if he knows he would get to heaven, how would he know? And he said, "Well, you know, I grew up out east. And this was in the days when we just had horses. And my dad, he would go to church every Sunday. It didn't matter how bad it stormed. We would go through the storm and it'd be cold and blizzard and deep snow. We went every Sunday." And he said, "To think of all that could have happened, and God took care of me. Yep, if he took care of me, I think I'll make heaven." That was his confidence. What is yours? Is it in the work the Lord Jesus did on the cross? That I alone, I'm not depending on what I'm doing to please him. I am completely depending on what the Lord Jesus did to please the Father for me on my behalf, for my sin, the work of forgiveness and for my sin. We need to be rooted in him. That's the first rooting we need. It needs to be solely in the Lord Jesus and nothing else. Now, the next thing it talks about is being builded up in him. You know, God wants us to grow. We know that. I wonder how concerned we are about that. It's very easy to relax and carry on and think, I'm not doing too bad, and if I don't do worse than this, I'll be doing all right. But God says he wants us to abound in these things, in being rooted in him. And one of the ways to be builded up in him, some of the thoughts I had about that is to grow spiritually. Or, again, this can be very deceiving. Is that growing spiritually rooted in the Lord Jesus? Do I have to do it? Do I have to start watching out that I don't do this and I don't do that? Or is it on a person? Oh, that guy's got the answers. I'll go see what he says, and what he says, that'll do it. Is it on training? All of these things are going to let us down. If we want to grow spiritually, in verse 6, the verse before, I'm going to read it. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The spiritual life is a miracle. It's absolutely a miracle. If we go through life and don't respond in our fleshly way, it's a work of God. We can't do anything else but respond in our own fleshly way unless he does a miracle through us. And as we do that, about growing in him, first of all, is it rooted in him? Are we depending on him to work through us and make us grow? Is our confidence in him, is it dependent on him? That's the first thing I want to point out about building up in him. Now, the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of different ideas coming in today. God's word tells us it's forever. And we have to be built up in him how God's word says. We have to follow its instructions and live how God's word tells us to. If we want to be built up in him, we can't be built up in him if we're not following God's word. First, is our confidence that we're going to be built up in him, that Jesus has to do this in through my life. And then, is it according to God's word, or is it my own ideas? Or is it the idea I have to do something here and there? And I'm going to touch on that. There is an aspect here that we do have a responsibility, but we have to be clear on that, it's not our own selves. Now, okay, I'll go to that right now. If the Bible says that we are to pray. Now, God's not going to make your hands go like this and your eyes closed and bow your head, or he's not going to make your mouth go and make you pray. He's not going to do that. But we see it says we are to pray. And then we have to come and we have to say, okay, Lord, this is your will. You help me to pray like I should. You work through your Holy Spirit. It says in a number of places that we are to pray in the Holy Spirit. You work through your Holy Spirit. I trust you will do this through me as I come to you to obey you and your word, what it has said. That is our responsibility, to trust him, to do it through us as we realize what we have to do and we go to do it. We need to depend on Him for that. Things to be built up in our thoughts. What are our thoughts? Are they on God's word? Are they on God? Are they on the Lord's work? What about our actions? Are they being built up? Are they abounding? Are they becoming more Christ-like? And a thing that is a growing experience as well is doing it in His strength. Are we doing it in His strength and not in our own? That is a process we have to grow in. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15, we have a very sobering portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 3, I think we all know it. And I just want to point this out quickly. I'm going to read those five verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 10. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it and the fire shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And the thing I'd like to point out here about building on the Lord Jesus, we have been given the Bible. You know, the Lord Jesus came and gave us much instruction. And then the apostles came. And the Lord made it clear that He is going to reveal things that He can't reveal to them at that time to the apostles. And they have taught us many things in the book of Acts and the epistles. And here is one thing we are taught of Paul. If we want to build on the foundation of the Lord Jesus, we have to build His way, His time, and in His strength. If it's not done in that way, even if it's good works, I believe it'll burn up. It's not just doing it, it's how we do it. Our motives and everything here, if we're building on Him and it's acceptable to the Lord, it has to be done His way, in His time, and in His strength. And then it will be glorifying to Him. Now, the next thing here, this verse says that we're supposed to be established, made solid in the Lord Jesus. We're supposed to abound in that, to become more and more at home and solid in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I always picture this as a combine going in the field. It rained a lot. You're driving along, and should I go through that water hole or shouldn't I? And, well, I'll try it. And all of a sudden, the wheels spin, and it's soft, and you're stuck there. And, well, I guess I'll have to go and get a pull. By the time you come, you sank that much more. You're more than ever solid in there. It's going to take a lot harder pull. The longer you stay there, the lot harder the pull it'll be to pull you out. There are many different ideas in the world today, and I just want to mention this again. When I was young, I never did go to high school or even to college. But I did have friends who did. And they came back with a lot of things professors said, some of their arguments, very intelligent people, and hardly any answers for it at that time. There wasn't. Now there's some very good books on it. But as the first thing that really turned me to confidence of the Lord is I read a book on the proof of the resurrection by Paul Little, Know Why You Believe. The resurrection of Christ is just so clear. The evidence is with us here today, and it's there at that time. It's through all of history that Christ arose. The other thing I have noticed over the years is the Bible gives answers. If you go to philosophy and a lot of things, yes, the Bible says in the beginning God, and it leaves us there because our finite minds can't go further. We can't put it together after that. He is so big. But from there on, the Bible gives answers for everything. Philosophy doesn't. Oh, this happened. This wasn't the start. Okay, grant that. But what then? How did this happen? Oh, well, we don't know. How did that happen? We don't know. The Bible gives answers. It gives joy and peace. Answered prayer is another thing. Some of the ways the Lord answered prayer in my need was not normal. It didn't just happen. It wasn't just molecules and atoms floating around that happened that way. It was real. It was absolute. And I'm just going to tell you this story quick. Just how God answers prayer. My nephew, he was going through college at university, and it was getting pretty heavy. It was the last final exam for his degree in computer science. And they had to make these 6 trains on a bunch of tracks. And they had to have it all computerized that the teacher could speed up any one of the trains or make them stop. And that this would be automatic, that none of those trains would hit each other, no matter what he did. That had to be all automatic and computerized. And 2 guys were assigned to a project, so my nephew and this other guy never got together to try out their programs and things. And they set this up just before their test. And they started this thing up, and bang, bang, the trains all crashed. Their programs didn't work. This other guy wasn't a believer. But my nephew said, look, there's only one thing we can do, and that is pray. And the guy said, okay, go ahead and pray. So he said, dear Lord, this doesn't look very good, but I just ask you to help this to work. Amen. Their time came. They turned that thing on. Those trains worked perfectly till the buzzer went, then they crashed. And he passed. I could tell you different experiences like that. God is real. And he's a joy to have in your life. Philosophies don't do that for you. They don't give you joy. They don't give you gladness. They don't answer many questions. Jesus does. God's word does. So be builded up in him and established stronger and stronger in him. Time does do that. And we're supposed to abound in these things with thanksgiving. One of the joys of the Christian life is, or of the obedient life, one of the joys of the obedient life is joy, thanksgiving. It pours out of the heart of the person who's obedient. The next verse is very interesting. I couldn't help but see that. Go down to verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. A warning. He says we're to abound, being rooted in him, being builded up in him, being established in him, abound with thanksgiving. And to be aware, deceit can come into our minds. It can obscure our thinking, and it can bend us away from the Lord Jesus. That is a possibility. We're to be aware of that. And then a tremendous promise and joy. If we do these things, rooted, builded up, established in him, it says that if we have Christ, that in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. We have everything in the Lord Jesus. Maybe I'll just tell this story too. I always found it amusing. Mr. Nicholson, Senior Boyd Nicholson, he was quite a guy. He was very capable in witnessing and ministering. And one time he came into the jewelry store and he heard the cashier and the customer there talking about about riches, being rich. And this cashier was talking about how she wished to meet a rich person. And Mr. Boyd Nicholson slowly walks over there and he says, oh, he gives out his hand, I'm glad to meet you. And I want to tell you, you said you want to meet a rich person. You know what? I'm so rich. I own millions and millions. In fact, I've lost count of how much I own. I don't even know how much I own. I am so rich. Oh, she was all excited. And then he started sharing how in Christ he had everything. Of course, her interest turned away a bit. But you know, we forget that sometimes as believers. In Christ, we have everything we need here. We have everything in the future. It's going to be ours. We're going to reign with him. What a joy that is. Well, that's another one of the abounding verses. We'll go on. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. It's another very interesting verse. You know, in some of these things, we don't want to abound so much. There is a cost to it. But we are commanded to anyway, and there is blessing if we do. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In order to get this abounding, we have to go back to verse 4 and then verse 6 as well. And verse 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that ye may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, well, it is for your consolation and salvation. And anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. But this is an interesting verse. You know, in the Christian life, you do face difficulties. We all do. There's no doubt about it. We can kick up our heels at it, and we do. All of us do at times. Or we can accept it as from the Lord and ask Him to give us the wisdom, the strength, the comfort that we need to go through this. We can do that and trust Him and do it through His strength. This verse promises that if we do that, God is going to give us comfort we need to go through it. That's a promise. And then this verse goes further than that. It says that in our life, as we go along, we're going to meet other people going through that exact same experience. And that if we've allowed the Lord to work through us and have Him comfort us and carry us through, we can go to those people and say, look, I was there. I know how you feel. But you know what God did for me? He did this for me. Just trust Him. Put one foot in step of another. Trust Him for strength. Trust Him for wisdom. Trust Him for grace to go through this. And we can be a blessing. And then, as these things abound, as the sufferings continue to abound, the promise is God's comfort will abound more as well. And we will be more and more of a blessing to our brothers and sisters. So that's how He wants us to abound in suffering, by the comfort of God and comforting other believers. I'd like to go to Matthew 24 for the few minutes we have left. I was struck a bit here. This is talking about what I believe is the future time, a time that's coming on the world like never has been or ever will be. The book of Revelations, Matthew 24, 12, and he's talking about the beginning of sorrows here, which we call the Great Tribulation. And it says in verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love for God and the love for other believers can wax cold. Now go to a verse, just two verses before that. And, verse 9, let's start at verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I've talked about the sufferings for Christ or in our Christian life. You know, as brothers and sisters here, our love can grow cold. It's a reality. What does it? When iniquity shall abound, it says that's one thing that will affect that. And many will be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another. And many times, over and over, it's interesting here as you go, the idea of loving each other is here over and over again. But each time, it brings in a new thing with it. And I don't have time to go into that. And the reason I wanted to point this out is our love for each other can grow cold. If we are offended or whatever it might be that comes in between two of us, we can allow to get cold and hard feelings. But you know, let's, in the strength of Christ, not let that happen. Let's not be like these people that, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But let's push those things out of the way and through the strength of Christ, find courage to go on. I see our time is up. I'm going to leave it at that. But I want to challenge you again. What are you rooted in? What are you really depending on consciously, moment by moment, for your life, for your salvation, for the success of your Christian life, for your abounding in your faith and building up in your faith? Is it solely on the Lord Jesus? We need to be reminded of this. We forget it over and over. And I trust that you will allow the Lord to build up your life and to establish it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we indeed feel small as we come. And the question immediately comes, can we really come? But we have the Lord Jesus, and we know we can. You will not turn him away. And we know that if we are in him, we're accepted in him. And we rejoice in that. We thank you, you're big, that you're holy, you're just, you're loving, you're caring, you're all-knowing, all-powerful, you're all-present. What a joy to know that. And what a joy to know you love us and you're interested in our lives. And I again pray that each one here might find grace in you. First of all, if they do not know you as their Savior, they might trust you today. And for us that do, we might trust you and depend on your strength to work through us, to fulfill your will in our lives, that we can grow spiritually. So as we part, may you go with each one of us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.